Hey everybody, Donnie Gardner here with the Boston Terrier Society. In today's episode, we're going to be walking you through how to buy a Boston Terrier online. Basically, the red flags to look out for, what the process is going to look like, and hopefully this will help you if you're looking at buying a Boston Terrier. She's been a Boston Terrier breeder for 15 years. She also competes in competitions, and she's been doing that since 2008. But her experience with Boston Terriers goes way back to whenever she was a child, whenever her and her mom bought their very first Boston. I hope you enjoy this episode, and let's get to it. You just want to tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been breeding Boston Terriers, and just kind of how you got started with them.
Okay, yeah, sure. My name's Gabby Vogler, and I have Gabby Boston Terriers. And we got into Boston Terriers when I was about 10 years old. Our first Boston, her name was Patty, and she was actually for sale at a garage sale that somebody was having.
Wow.
And my mom, you know, the lady had a lot of kids and a lot of animals and a lot of everything. And so we thought she was cute. She looked really sad. She was tied up to a tree, but they're just sitting there like, but so my mom told them, well, I'm not really looking to buy a dog, but we'll give the dog a good home. And so we got Patty, and she was about 5 or 6 when we got her. Oh, she was much a cantankerous Boston that was, you know, don't get near my food, don't mess with me, because she'd been with all those kids and everything. So,
yeah,
you know, as the years went on, she was like the best little friend that we all had. And then my mom started, it was probably about maybe when Patty was about 10, my mom thought, well, maybe I'll try to breed Boston Terriers. And this was way back before internet and Facebook, and I mean we're talking about like 1993, so it's way back then. She got into raising Bostons, and she'd only have like maybe a litter a year or so. It was just kind of a hobby thing. It wasn't anything that was really a big deal. When I graduated college in 2001, I moved to a little town in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do. We had acres and acres of land and nothing to do. And I was like, you know, maybe I should look into maybe raising Boston Terriers myself. So I've been raising them now for 15 years. We do AKC confirmation shows with them, have several that have championed and done well. And we try to have just a few litters a year, just because I have 3 children of my own and it takes a lot of time with them and having puppies. And I mean, it's a big mess.
Were you doing confirmations and those AKC shows before you started breeding, or is that just kind of, you know?
No, that came about 2008. I'd probably been breeding by that time for just maybe 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. It wasn't very far into when I started raising them. My friend Kristen, she introduced me to the world of showing. I got the show bug, and before I had my kids, I was doing AKC shows, UKC shows, all kind of stuff. And now that I've had my kids, I have, you know, my good friend and my handler, Mandy, that shows the dogs for me currently. Yeah, so we're mostly AKC now, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a 2.5-year-old and a 4-month-old, so I totally get all the things you did pre-kids.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Your life before kids was a lot more restful.
Right. Yeah, so the whole reason I wanted to get you on the podcast and everything, because you do have a lot of experience breeding Boston Terriers, and I mean, even with your mom back in, you know, 93, starting this up, pre-internet and all that, I just wanted to kind of help people that are currently looking for Boston Terriers be aware of the scams that are out there and try to set them up for success so they don't get scammed. Could you just kind of walk me through the process of me buying a Boston from you today?
Yeah, well, usually, you know, in this day and age, we get so many phone calls from numbers we don't even know. So half the time, if you call me, I don't even answer it because I don't know the phone number. So usually I always encourage people to leave a message. But typically, you know, if you leave a message, I will call you back and give me information that I have currently. But the best way to go about for me is if a potential puppy family will fill out my application that's found on my website, and I have it on my Facebook page. And if they mail that or text that to me, then typically I go through that. I look at all the, you know, questions that they've answered and the things they've told me. And I don't have a whole lot of litters all the time. So typically my response back to them is, check back in a month. You know, I'll let you know if there's any updates. And, you know, I don't keep up with people like all the time, because I mean, it would just be impossible to keep up with everybody all the time. But if I do have a litter of puppies and I do have puppies available, once they filled out the application, I will call them and, you know, get kind of a feel for the household and what their plans are, what other animals they have, their children, what children they have, what kind of fenced yard they have. And then, you know, I always ask on my application, is there any reason you would ever have to give up your dog? And most of the time people say, no, never. But I myself, to make sure the dog is always taken care of, when the person actually buys the dog, I tell them, you know, if anything ever happens at any point in this life, if you cannot keep this dog, I will take the dog back. So that's an important part that people need to understand in finding a breeder, because you want a breeder that's going to be there for the life of the animal, try to help people. Because if it gets to the point you have to get rid of your dog, you've got some major stuff going on, I think. So
right.
And so just help alleviate that stress for the dog and for the family. And so usually when I have the application and I review it and do all that stuff, I ask for people's address. And this is kind of funny. I will Google their house and see what kind of neighborhood they live in, and just kind of stuff like that. I kind of FBI the people. And I get on, and now that we have Facebook, which is so fabulous, you can search the people on Facebook and, you know, look for any potential, like, is this person legit? Is this, you know, is this like fake? You know, so. Anyway.
Yeah. Do you get any type of, like brokers trying to call you? Because I've seen, you know, sites out there, and I think I was talking to you about this earlier on Facebook. You know, you see websites that have Boston Terriers for sale, and I've messaged a few of them just trying to see, because I've been trying to see if there's scams out there that I could let people know about. And I didn't know if maybe it was a broker's website, and I just didn't know anything about what a broker was. So I didn't know if you've had any experience with them.
Well, a broker is somebody that will, in my experience, they'll try to just acquire a whole litter of puppies, and then they will just sell it on a website for usually a crazy amount. I mean, back when I looked at these sites, it was a lot, kind of like pet store prices, like just way out of the range of what you would think would be normal. The only experience I've ever had with a broker, it wasn't actually myself, it was my mom. And this was, like I told you, back in 93, we didn't have internet, we didn't know anything about people. And a lady came and said, I'll buy all the puppies, and one's for me and one's for my brother. Like, she made up this whole story. And later, I don't know how many years later it was, we found out that lady was a broker. And she was actually shut down for animal neglect. And we were like, oh, I mean, that was awful. But that was, you know, back in the 90s, and people, you know, you didn't know better back then.
Right.
You just took people for their word, and, you know, but that's,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's my family's only experience with a broker. But the sites are out there. And the thing with those is, you really don't know anything about the puppies, how they were raised, and any issues the parents might have. And broker's going to make them look real cute. I mean, you may get a dog that doesn't even look like that. You may get a dog that's just sick. I mean, you don't know.
Right. How do you personally handle deposits?
People always ask, you know, can I give you a deposit before puppies are born and things like that? And I say, no, I don't take deposits before puppies are born, just because you never know what's going to happen. You don't want to take a deposit and puppy doesn't make it, or they don't have puppies. And I don't even take a deposit till they're 2 weeks old, just because I want to make sure that they're okay. That's the thing. You know, there's a lot of places that they just sell them right out of the womb. Here you go. I know. Having Bosses are a very hard breed to breed. So, you know, I know every devastating thing that can happen when you breed them. So I'm like, no, I'm going to hold off on that. So, you know, people do their own thing, and you know, they can do that. But I, for me, I cannot do that. It would be hard to tell somebody, sorry, your puppy didn't make it. And,
right. How do you accept your deposits? Is it check, cash?
For my deposit would be a check or PayPal. So,
have you ever had anybody buy one out of state from you, or has all of your sales been local, face to face?
No, we have puppies all over the United States. As far as those out of state people, when they want a puppy, Boston's in particular do not do well flying like in cargo, and I think there's laws in a lot of places that they don't even allow short nosed breeds to even fly. So typically, if somebody comes from out of state, they have to drive. If we can drive somewhere to meet them, we try to within a certain reasonable distance.
Okay. And then in that way, I'm assuming that for them, then the deposit's all through PayPal.
Yeah, when they make the deposit, it's through PayPal. And then when we meet in person, it can be either cash or deposit or check or PayPal. So, yeah.
I mean, talking with other breeders and everything, you know, because a big red flag for me is whenever I see, like, pay us those green dot cards, you know, you can get at Walmart. In your experience, have you ever seen a breeder ever accept those as a form of payment?
And it's called, what is it called?
They're called green dots. It's like one of those prepaid cards you can get from Walmart. And a lot of scam artists have been using those. And I was like, I don't think any breeder would actually.
I did not know. I did not even know about this. So, no, I have not accepted whatever this is, and I will not accept it now that you told me about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know anything about that. Seeing it in the past, I think they're getting craftier and craftier as they go along. But used to be they would post really cute pictures of dogs that they don't even have and then list them for like $200. Like, here's a dog for $200. And you would contact them and they would say, oh yeah, sure, send the $200 and we'll, you know, work out the shipping. And then of course you send the money.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you need to contact Gabby for any reason, if you want to look at her Boston Terriers that she has for sale or have any questions related to Boston Terriers, her contact information are going to be in the show notes below. Also, if you want to go check out this article, just go to BostonTerrierSociety.com, click on the little icon where it says podcast interviews. You'll be able to see her interview right there. Hope you enjoyed this. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a message. Otherwise, have a great day, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye.